Welcome back to Phil's Philosophies, a show about finding the spark, that meaningful thing in our lives that brings us one step closer to living out our purpose. But how could I focus on finding my spark when I've had misinformation spread online about me? It seems easy to say, just ignore it, Phil. An ignorant person will make you hurt yourself, right? This is part two of our conversation and exploration of misinformation, because we're all tabloid junkies in some form or another. So, if you need a refresher on what happened, please take some time and listen to the previous episode before you hit play on this one. Just because you read it in the magazine or see it on the TV screen don't make it factual, see? But everybody wants to believe all about it. Those were words that were sung, rapped, spoken by Michael Jackson in his 1995 song, Tabloid Junkie. Those words couldn't be any more true 25 years later. When I woke up the morning of February 23rd, 2020, it was my birthday eve, and yes, I do call it that. I was expecting a relaxed brunch with my girlfriend Natalia and some time spent with friends before we made the drive back to my grandparents' suburb outside of Atlanta. Instead, the messages were streaming through my phone. So, let's drink some tea, shall we? I have lost all respect for former SA President Philip Warfield. Last Friday night, at Vespers, I heard him shout Black Power as Cheryl went up to claim her spot as president. During his time at Southern, the former president was a strong advocate for racial equality and even dealt with a racist incident. Yet, as seen Friday night, racial elitism was expelled from his lips. In my eyes, this is a slap in the face to Southern's reputation and his legacy here. I am truly ashamed to have even looked up to the man who is a hypocrite and a fraud. Even if he was excited for Cheryl's victory, Vespers is not an appropriate place to shout Black Power. In fact, nowhere at Southern is it appropriate to shout that phrase or any similar phrases, no matter the race. I expected more from him, but I am disappointed. Congrats, Mr. President, on bringing back racism to Southern. Okay, but wait, were people more upset that they thought I was yelling in church, or that I was yelling something that they couldn't quite understand? Studying Black American history at Howard University has taught me many things, but I think there's someone who can explain why certain people might be afraid of Black Power whenever they see it or they hear it. To talk about this, we're going to stick right here in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
My name is Melanie Holmes, and I actually teach middle school full-time. I am a sixth grade social studies teacher, and I also teach the social studies department how to become better teachers. I'm like a teacher coach. But other than that, I am a full-time grad student at Howard, and my major is the African diaspora, but I concentrate on Black Power, and my minor is U.S. history.
I've had a few classes already with Melanie. She's crazy smart, and studying Black Power is an emphasis for her. She took some time with me to help me make sense of all this. H.U., you know I am so cringy. So, Melanie, what did Black Power originally mean?
So, you know, that's such a loaded question, but it's also very simple at the same time. Whenever I think of Black Power, whether I'm reading about different Black Power individuals or organizations, whether they were even in the dimension or era of the Black Power movement in the 1960s, there are three core values that kind of stand out, which are resistance, self-determination, and race pride or cultural pride. And I think, if you don't mind me elaborating a little bit, I think that when you have such an oppressed group of people as Black people throughout the diaspora have historically been, when the oppressor hears that group of people demanding power, they start to get scared because they know that they've been messing up and they haven't been fair. They haven't been treating people the way they want to be treated. And so they think revenge. They think, oh, like they want what we have, and they're going to take it. And they're going to take it violently. And so we should be scared. But Stokely Carmichael has said in several of his speeches that it's not about violence. But at the same time, there is a kind of an attitude of by any means necessary. So it doesn't have to be a prescription for only violence, but if it so happens to come to that, we're okay with it.
Do you think that white allies and white liberals were turned off from embracing Black power?
So I'm not so sure that they were turned off toward embracing Black power, because there was a speech that Stokely Carmichael gave to white students at UC Berkeley, and he's talking to a supposedly liberal audience, again, of white students, and he's telling them what they can do if they're so interested in helping the Black power cause. Like, you need to go back into your own communities and organize them. And then we had white students in SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, before it became an all-Black organization. And we had integrated Freedom Riders, where Black and white students would try to integrate the transportation system going from the north to the south, and white people in sit-ins. So, and then there was a radical group of white people called the Weathermen. So they had their own they had their own way of fighting the system. And I think that when we're talking about white allies, they don't have to be allies in the same organizations as Black people. I think that some pushback against that was really about, okay, you can help us, but you can't lead the movement. You know, we're the ones who are demanding this, so you can't jump in and start trying to call the shots or lead the organizations. You can get with us and stand beside us, but you can't stand in front of us and lead these movements. So I think a lot of the Black Power individuals, the Black Panther Party, for instance, Huey Newton, one of the co-founders, was saying, you know, we will appreciate your help, your financial contributions, your leadership in your own ways, but we need to do this on our own. And again, going back to what Black Power means, the race pride, the self-determination. Self-determination was so big. It's saying that we want to be the people who dictate our communities. And so in that tenet of Black power itself, you can have white allies, but you kind of have to go by our direction. So I wouldn't say that they were turned off to it. I think that in a way, Black people were turned off to white people trying to run the show. So they wanted help, you know, the more the merrier, but again, go into your own communities, organize your own people, and turn the naysayers or the people who are scared or misconstruing the idea of Black power, like, get them straight so that they understand what we really mean. It kind of reminds me of the whole Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter argument. It's like, come on, nobody's saying that white lives don't matter, but we're just saying that Black lives matter too, also, in addition to yours. So Black power didn't mean no power to white people. It's saying that we want some political power too. We want some education too. We want good communities. We want safety. We want good jobs. We want all of what you have too. And I think that people didn't want to hear what it really meant. They just wanted to believe the hype.
Well, since you mentioned Black Lives Matter, I want to ask you if you can explore the relationship between Black power and the Black Lives Matter movement today.
You know what I think? I think that, and I keep hitting this point home, and I just want to say, you know, when I keep repeating resistance and race pride and self-determination, those are three core values for Black people throughout time, you know, before the Black Power movement. Those were very vital to Marcus Garvey and the Universal Negro Improvement Association. Those were vital to Toussaint in his rebellion in Haiti, the Maroons throughout the African diaspora who said, forget this slave thing. We're leaving. We're resisting this oppression. We're starting our own communities, whether it's in the swamps, the woods, the mountains. And so Black people have always really uplifted resistance, race pride, and self-determination. And so I think that the Black Lives Matter movement is, in a way, those very three tenets of Black power. I wouldn't say that it's an extension of the Black Power movement because the characteristics are very different. Black power is associated with a lot of militancy, both rightfully and wrongfully so, depending on who's portraying it. But in terms of Black Lives Matter, yeah, we are resisting police violence and racism in general. We are taking back pride in our culture and in our people, and we're being proud of who we are, and we are self-determined. We're doing it by, we're doing it ourselves. We are saying no to politicians who think that they can continue their racist practices and policies. We're saying no to police who think that it's okay to shoot people down or kneel on someone's neck. You know what I mean? But I think the beautiful thing about Black Lives Matter is, even though I do separate it from the Black Power movement, not just because of the spatial dimensions, but because just, you know, there's different characteristics of it. I think that the way Black Lives Matter is so diverse, I think that there's a lot of beauty in it that I'm not entirely sure that the Black Power movement was as diverse as the Black Lives Matter movement. I know with Black Power, we had the Brown Berets, who were Mexican Americans, I believe, who were fashioned very similarly to the Black Panther Party, but they were all brown. Brown jackets, brown berets, why they called themselves that. And then you had just other, again, more militarized groups. So the Weathermen, a group of white men and women who were trying to oppose the capitalist system. But I hope that people are not afraid of the Black Lives Matter movement because they're mixing the two. I know that there's a lot of controversy around the Black Lives Matter movement that I wonder if I was around during the Black Panther era, Black Power era, if I would see it the same way. Because living during the time is so impactful. But all we have are like the documentaries and the interviews and the pictures. So I'm wondering if what we're experiencing now is the same thing that was experienced in the 60s and 70s. And I guess I'll conclude this question on this last thought. I would hope that people are seeing that the values of the Black Power movement are still alive today, just in other ways. And that those values are just as important now as they were in the 60s, the 1800s, you know, as they've always been to our people.
I want to talk to you about the relationship between celebrating Black power versus celebrating just Blackness and celebrating the community. I start to think about Beyonce's Black Parade that came out last year, or this newfound movement for celebrating natural hair in a way that wasn't really seen in the 70s, just in a different way. Of course, you had afros and people starting to embrace that for the first time, really. But today's a little bit different. So can you really explore, if you will, the difference in celebrating Blackness versus celebrating Black power? And is there a difference?
You know what? So when I think about celebrating Blackness, I guess that can be taken a couple different ways. It can be taken culturally, you know, celebrating our heritage, celebrating our looks, our natural features. It could be celebrating our complexion, but it could also be just celebrating almost our existence. When you think of celebrating Blackness, because it's so it's so targeted. Again, I'm going to bring it back to, you know, a part of Black power to me means race pride. And so I think that when people are specifically isolating that one tenet of race pride, like they are uplifting a core identifier of the Black power movement just without saying it. I like the shirts these days that say like, my melanin's popping, or, you know, there's different ways of just really embracing who we are, the different shades that we come in, the different sizes we have. And honestly, I think Black culture is celebrated in a lot of ways, like appropriation. I'm going to just put that out there. A lot of appropriation going on in terms of Black culture. So I would say that there's a difference slightly, but that they also work together. They go together. But I I don't think that people who embrace Black culture are all the time saying Black power, though. I don't think that some people would go that far.
I took some time to read to Melanie some of the weird messages that I got from that SAU confession Instagram page. And I'm going to read one of the other messages that also came through. Here's one of them. I absolutely loved Mark's preaching this last Vespers, but I couldn't enjoy it to its full potential due to the disgusting things said beforehand. I stand with supporting Cheryl, but it's not okay to be shouting things like, in quotes, women empowerment in the church. But what was worse was when the former SA president, who dealt with one of the worst race issues at Southern, shouted, Black power. That is not okay to shout in a church. Praise her on social media, praise her at school, but do not praise her in a church like that. I came to praise my God, not a human. Please have some respect and grow up. So, Melanie, what do you think about terms like racial elitism and some of these other things that I've read you?
That's such a funny term. I would wonder, do you... I wonder before I can completely answer that, if it was what was the color or nationality of the person who said it. But racial elitism, to me, they're just trying to come up with a fancy word that says racism. I think that they're trying to say that you're being racist by saying Black power. And again, I think that people who are naysayers of the term Black power are thinking of it as a negative thing. They're thinking of it as violence. They're thinking of it as revenge. They're thinking of it as Black people hating white people and you know, Black supremacists, you know? So racial elitism, I mean, I would flip that around and say, thank you. I am realizing that my race is elite. I'm not saying it's supreme. I'm not saying it's better than, but yes, it is an elite group of people. And I do acknowledge that. But that it sounds like someone's trying to say racist in a very PC way. And I just would have to wholeheartedly disagree with that. People of Black power leaders, Stokely Carmichael, Fred Hampton, Huey, Bobby, Angela, Elaine, like they were not racist people. And there's so many other Black power leaders I can name, Asada, you know, so many different Black power organizations, the Black Panthers, the Black Liberation Army, SNCC, the Pan-Africanist, the Pan-African movement, like they were not prescribing or even subscribing to the idea of racism. It was just about the fact that Black people have been kept down and oppressed for too long and so long. And we don't want to be subservient or subjugated anymore. We want to become empowered. And for some reason, that scares people. Racial elitist, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. In fact, I'm wondering then what you think about... why do you think people are still so threatened by this term, Black power, even in 2021? What's with that?
Well, first of all, I appreciate how you use the word threatened, because that is a beautiful word to describe how I think a lot of people feel when they hear Black power. They feel threatened. They feel like somehow like their turn to be subjugated and oppressed is up next. And they know how bad it is because they've been the ones responsible for it. And so, yeah, I love the word threatened. That's very appropriate. But you know what, though? I'm really not so sure that Black Power is... I would say that people are confused about Black Power in 2021. In fact, I'm bothered that it's not as much of a topic anymore. I would love for it to be more of a topic. I think that we need it to be a topic. I think that we need Black Power in 2021 for obvious reasons. You know, we celebrated the, you know, Derek Chauvin verdict. And I think it's so sad we have to celebrate something like that. But at the same time, Micaiah Bryant was killed, you know, that same day. And then, you know, so it's like we're evening out. You know, we should be getting better, but things are kind of like balancing and staying the same. I don't know if things have gotten better or worse, but I do think that I don't really know what progress should mean. So I think that if we were to say, you know, we need Black Power, we need more self-determined communities, we need to support Black businesses, we need to, you know, depend more on our own communities and lift up our own communities, we need to be more prideful in who we are. And part of that pride is knowing where we came from. We need to take the time to investigate our own selves. And a lot of people don't know where to begin with that. We need to resist as opposed to accept a lot of the things that are still going on. And I would really say that we need to demand those things by continuing to demand Black Power. And if that still scares people or confuses people, then read about it. Listen to this podcast. Like, no one that said Black Power, we need Black Power, is saying we hate white people. In fact, you know, it was in 1966 when James Meredith, the first Black man to integrate the University of Mississippi, he was going on basically a solo march against fear, is what he called it, from Mississippi to Tennessee. It's about 220, 230 mile walk he was going on to really encourage the Black vote at a time when Black people were being scared away from the polls. And so on that march against fear, he was shot and was not killed, thankfully. But it was then that thousands of people transcended upon Mississippi and carried on that march for him. And one of those people was Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee Chairman at the time, Stokely Carmichael. And what he said at that time was that we need Black Power. We don't own anything in this community. We need Black Power. So he said, in, you know, the very first time that he even said it, he was talking about uplifting a community. He wasn't saying we need Black Power, we need to go shoot the white person. That it was never about that. And so I think that really people need to get past their emotions and start getting into their intellectual selves and really ask themselves, well, what is meant by Black Power? Let me not be afraid of it. And let me understand where these people are coming from.
We'll be right back, right after this. I want to take this moment and congratulate this class of 2021. Somehow, you survived a year of crazy hardship and made it to the end. No matter what your grades look like, please take a moment and soak it all in. I'm proud of you, and I know your family is too. But you might be thinking, what's next? What am I supposed to do for the rest of my life? Well, I don't have a specific answer for you. I'm not actually Dr. Phil, at least not yet. What I will say is that I've been there. I spent a crazy amount of time in my head and all over the internet looking for the solution. One of the best things I can tell you right now is to stop looking for the perfect job. Don't put so much pressure to find your ultimate happiness in your career. That's a quick ticket to burnout and some severe depression. Instead, I hope you're encouraged to find a good fit for you while you create and do some work you're interested in, even if you don't yet know what you're passionate about. And I mean, this is a commercial, so I hope you can be inspired by some of the guests who are on the first season of this podcast. So go for it. While you're in your car and hopefully traveling as this pandemic lulls here in the United States, and hopefully this gas shortage doesn't last forever, take a listen to a guest from season one of Phil's Philosophies, the season of my life where I was trying to figure out what I wanted, so I talked to people. I hope you enjoy those classic episodes, and you can always let me know how much you did by reaching out on social media. They were made with you in mind.
Hey, I'm Gia, and I'm tuning in to my favorite podcast, Phil's Philosophies, all the way from Puerto Rico. Hope you enjoy the show.
Now that we've unpacked Black Power a little bit, I think it's time to get back to solving this whole ordeal. Remember our whodunit mystery from the last episode? We were trying to figure out how I even got into this mess. If I didn't stand up and yell Black Power that night, then who did? And how is it attached to me? Well, I was able to identify a person's voice, and y'all, it really wasn't even close.
So, I think that was the essay Vespers, and, you know, my friend Mark Galvez, he was preaching. I had to be there to support. But that was also the Vespers of the week of the election, the essay elections. And my other friend, Cheryl, won the election. And so I was there supporting her. Also had to get that credit. But like, I was there to support my friends. I know I was on the left, towards the front. I think Cheryl had to sit close because they were gonna call her up. So I was towards the front, first five pews on the very, very left of the church. It was so happy. Everyone was like cheering. And it was like, it was emotional because she was the first woman in how long?
We elected yesterday first female essay president since 1994.
Plus an international student, which is crazy. Everyone's just really, really happy. So we were all cheering. We were all standing. Were you standing at the front? You were at the front?
And Philip Warfield, who recently graduated a couple years ago, and he's one of our recent essay presidents.
So your girl supporting her friends goes, "We love a Black woman in power." Because
I think we just figured out where our Black power came from.
Anyway, you love a Black woman in power. Everyone's cheering. Everyone's like, we love a woman. Like, as soon as that started, everyone was like, that's my girl, Cheryl. Like, everyone started yelling. I shouldn't say yelling, but like, you know, shouting and stuff like that and clapping. And then the service kind of just went on. It was a beautiful service. And
so there you have it. All of this drama and misunderstanding was misconstrued, and it was my cousin, Michaela, who had a right to celebrate with what sounded like tons of other students. So why would you want to single me out?
Oof. SAU Confessions was lit. Bro, they were coming for you, man. And I was like, first of all, what we're not going to do is come from my cousin Philip. We're not gonna come from my cousin anonymously. I said, Mans didn't even say that. That's not even what they said. I was so confused because I was like, wasn't Philip on stage? When did he say that? I only know what I said was that we love a Black woman in power. But I don't remember anybody else saying Black power. I don't know why that makes people uncomfortable, but okay. And that's the tea. the way I was so angry. And it's not because of what they said, like what they were saying, that what they were, first of all, if you're gonna come for someone, spell their name correctly. I wish there was a video component, because the way our faces just was like, and that's on period. It wasn't that I was angry that they thought that you said what I said, what they wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. It's the fact that it's always so constant. You know what I mean? Like, it's any small thing that you can do, they stay coming for you, bro. And it's just like, at one point, sometimes it's just like, y'all ain't got no life, but like I said, we love a little drama that's not our own. And I understand, I love to partake in the reading of SAU confessions, or like the little, I love to sip the tea. But at some point it gets like, okay, now this is too far. Like, you know what I mean? If the same thing, we saw the same thing with the election, like people on SAU confessions, the bullying of Luis, like not called for at all. You can disagree and still not spread hate. You know what I mean? Just be like, I didn't agree with what he said, but okay, then don't vote for them. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, people just took it too far. And then it just boils down to also, it, like we said, why does that make you uncomfortable? That even, though that was not what was said, if that was what was said, why is that wrong? It was in the moment, it was nothing racial. It was nothing like racially malicious, or to be like, Black power, Black people are superior, da 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 da. It was boosting the self-esteem of a Black woman, an international Black woman, who is representing the Black women on, like, Black women!
It really is amazing the things that can happen when you're just minding your own business. How many of us have felt the mass sting of a lie told about our character? I want to bring us back to a story from the previous episode. We're talking with Elizabeth again.
The pain and hurt you feel, whatever situation it is, what you do with it says more about you than what it says about other people, right? So like, you can go around and tell people whatever you want about me, but the fact that you're doing that, it says more about who you are than who I am. And I don't think people, like, there's some amazing people that will hear that and be like, why are you spreading that, right? Like, that's not really kind of you. But then there's going to be people that are gonna be like, yes, like, they're going to take it and they're going to do stuff with it, right? Like, they're going to change it up. They're going to add their own little spice into it. And then they're going to go spread it, hit the button, send, like, they're going to do whatever they want, right? Because they feed off of that stuff. So I remember talking with some people about it, just like about the past and things like that. And I was reminded through those conversations that, like, people who choose to go around spreading whatever about other people, like gossip and rumors and whatever, like you can do whatever to try to bring someone else down, but the way they deal with it and the way they treat others, that's going to show more of who they are than what you're saying about them. So I guess what I would have said back then is like, yeah, like what you're doing is showing who you really are. Not saying that they're just this evil, malicious person, but in that moment, like, it's showing who you really are rather than who I really am.
We talked about misinformation on the last episode, and Elizabeth says, regarding the tea, that
it's normal to want to know about that couple over there that, like, they deleted all their pictures off Instagram, and like, you kind of want to know why, like it, I think it's not the greatest, but it's normal to just want to know. And it's in our human nature to be curious. But when you are putting other people's reputations on the line, when you're bashing their name, and when it comes to the point where like the words are just flooding out of your mouth and you're not even thinking about the consequences or how this is going to affect someone, I think that's when you're like that's when you've crossed the line, right? So for people who are hearing these things, I think it's important to ask yourself, like, is it truth? Like, is it kind? Whatever it is, like, will these things bring anyone good? Like, will these things do good before I decide to open my mouth and perhaps partake in the spreading or perhaps partake in the rumors? And like I said, it's easy to want to partake in it, and it's easy to not care about the consequences. But I think it's important as human beings, as a part of this community, as Christians, to really look at yourself and say, what am I going to do with this? Like, am I going to add fire to the flames? Or am I going to, like my friend said, like, yeah, I heard something, but like, I don't really want to know. Or like, I heard something, but that's for me to find out. But yeah, I think you're really left with choices. Like, am I going to add to this? Am I going to partake? Or am I going to stand firm in the fact that, like, I know I've been hurt, and like, I know that people, like, I'm almost sure we have all had rumors said about us. We have all had people try to bash. It's like literally like impossible for someone to say that they haven't, because there's jealous people of you. There's people that want to bring you down. There's people that, unfortunately, it's like their sole purpose to like bring people down, because they feel, and this is like broad, but like, there's people that literally feel so bad about themselves that they would rather see everyone like down in flames rather than focusing on themselves and bettering themselves. But that's like another story. But what I'm saying is that, are you gonna continue to add fire to the flames, or are you gonna do better?
Thanks for those words of wisdom, Elizabeth. Often, life online can feel like middle school all over again. So I decided to talk to a future teacher about how she'd go about stopping bullying.
Okay, my name is Amy Annunciation, and I'm hoping to be a middle school teacher with an emphasis in mathematics and music. I think interrogating several students and trying to get to the root of the rumor, trying to see who started it, trying to see why they started the rumor, because a lot of things associated with rumors can be jealousy, it can be pain, it can be a lot of things, especially in middle school. It can be, oh, this person likes so-and-so, this person did this, more so in that matter. So trying to get to the root of the rumor is the most important thing, so it doesn't fall out even more or do more damage than it's already done. In our protocol, we're not necessarily supposed to be involved in what students choose to do outside of the classroom. However, if it gets to an extent where it's harming somebody in the classroom, then it's a classroom issue. And the way that I would address it if my students did that would be, again, try to interview a few students, not interview, it's not super formal, but try to ask a few students, do you know who runs this account? And, you know, try to out them. And if no one's confessing at that point, then it might be taken further to administration. Again, it depends on the extent of the situation. If it's serious cyberbullying, then that is a school issue. But again, it's all about going to the root of the problem and trying to see why they did what they did, especially in middle school when they're trying to figure themselves out. You know, it might not even be intentional that they're trying to hurt someone else. Maybe they're going through something, but you still have to address that this is a problem, and you don't do this to other people because it's harmful and it's damaging and it's a lie.
I want to take us back to Madeline's study one last time. She and I are similar people. We feel things and experience things in some of the same ways. You might remember that she was sitting next to me that night, with my girlfriend Natalia on the other side. Maddie says something that really speaks to my soul. Why not just, as she says, go to the source?
Our personality types, you and I, we share the four Enneagram. we particularly, what's unique about our personalities, we do not appreciate being misunderstood. We want to feel understood. And so if there's a misunderstanding, or if we are misrepresented, we want to straighten things out. We want to make sure, like, even if it's a smaller thing or a bigger thing, we want to make sure we are truly represented. And if you hadn't done something, you want to make that clear. Hey, if you're upset about this, just so you know, I didn't do that, right? And honestly, it really affected you. And, you know, it still leaves a rumor like that, an explosion like that, really still leaves a mark. And we're discussing it right now. And so, yeah, I messaged SAU Confessions, and I shared my thoughts with why publicize this? Why not do your research first? And really diving into this idea of, like, you're gonna publish whatever people send you, without checking your facts, without asking someone, hey, or going to the source, or I don't know, just anything. And I let them know. I said, hey, whoever you are, just so you know, my dear friend Phil came here to celebrate his birthday. He wasn't even gonna be here this weekend if it hadn't been for his birthday celebration. And it was just by sheer, you know, happenstance that he was here on the weekend of this joyous occasion. Why does this have to be the thing that dampens this weekend? Like, everyone is blowing up about this. And it wasn't just a small reaction. Everyone was talking about it because those who were not there wanted to know what happened. And they got an untrue version. And again, I'm not here to debate what was right or wrong of what they thought was being said, but the fact that when rumors are spread, you know, they have power. They have power over people. And the image and the legacy that Phil left was, you know, beautiful. But guess these freshmen or sophomores or people who are newly to SAU's campus could have gotten a different perspective of what happened that was untrue, and in an untrue version of Phil's character or what have you. And, like, whatever rumor it is, they can mar someone's journey. And once again, I'm not here to debate what was said, what people heard, because there was much said around us. I didn't hear it come out of Phil's mouth, but again, no matter what was said, why make a big deal about it and have it blow up the next day? Like, it's just go to the source if you have a problem with it. Go to the source, and that's all I have to say.
Just because you read it in the magazine or see it on the TV screen, don't make it factual. Tea may be entertaining, but you never know what you can do to others when you refuse to acknowledge the facts. So, here's my advice. Drink your tea. Stop spilling it. I'm Philip Warfield. My show is written, produced, and edited by yours truly. This is Phil's Philosophies. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to leave a rating and a review wherever you listen. And if you especially enjoyed today's episode, why don't you let me know about it? Reach out to me on social media As always, my info is in the show notes. There's a couple of episodes that I'm working on that are going to be coming out a little bit more slowly since they take a lot of work. So just bear with me. I promise there's more content coming soon. Thanks for listening with me this far. See you next time.